praise you for who you are. God, in the beautiful and wonderful and powerful name of Jesus, we just praise and worship this morning. You deserve every bit. And you deserve all the glory, all the praise. Lord, so this morning I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just flow through this place and just touch each one of us. Leave this place changed. Let you speak to Brother Wayne about it. Just hear your word, your voice.
I'm so grateful for our praise team and Jack and their leadership. Amen. Give God a praise this morning. Man, what a great time of worship today. We're so delighted. Hey, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to invite you to follow along. We're studying the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and understanding that this is a letter that's written to all of us. If you know me and Rhonda at all, you know that we get out and do some walking and running and biking and all those kind of things together. And we've put a lot of miles on our feet together. We've done a lot of the little races where they give you the little medals, you know, and all those kind of things. And we have in our mudroom there where you come in the door, we have some plaques there. That have hooks on it where we hang all those little things. And on it has an inscription there. It says, "And they ran together happily ever after." Can I just tell you this morning, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Okay? Number one, I run for my health, not for enjoyment. Okay? And when Rhonda and I walk together, run together, or whatever, that is not a picture of walking in love, okay? Most of the time, it's like, you're walking too fast. I'm telling her, you're walking too fast. I can't keep up, you know? And then if we run, then I'm like, come on, you know? So we can just, we can't get it together there for some reason. And then we get stressed, and it's like, well, I'm ready to quit walking. Well, let's keep walking a little further. And so it creates more hostility than love, I promise you. That is not a picture of walking in love. But praise God, we've been married for 42 years. That's the walk of love. It's the days of each day of those 42 years. That's the picture of walking in love. What I want you to understand this morning is, that when we walk in love with God, it's not based on what we do here in an hour on Sunday morning. Your walk of love is not defined by an hour on Sunday morning. It's not defined by marking a block saying that you read your Bible that day. Okay? It's not in those things that we do as spiritual disciplines. It's the relationship that we share with God throughout the years as a result of worshiping and reading and praying and all those things. You understand? Our walk of love with one another, it's not based on the fact that we go to church together. It's really more about living life together. I mean, for some of us, this is the only time we see each other. It's the only time that we interact with one another. And if this is the only time that we see each other and interact with each other, I promise you that love relationship is not going to be very deep. The walk of love that we develop with Christ and with each other is outside the four walls of this church. It's doing life together. It's praying for one another. It's bearing one another's burdens. It's coming along beside each other in these things. You know, in my travels, I've noticed something kind of weird or kind of unique about people. When we go up north, when we travel up in the northern areas, it's interesting how friendly and how kind people are. It's amazing. We went to New York, one of our mission trips here recently. We went to New York, and one of the church planters there was sharing some things with us. And he said, you know, he said, people come up here and they go, man, people up here are rude. And he said, I always ask them, who you talked about being rude? Oh, man, we was down there at Times Square and all those people, it was just rude. He said, yeah, that's all the tourists that come up here. He said, the people that work in the restaurants and the people that work in the service industry, he said, they're not rude, they're kind. He said, because we depend on tourists to come here. If we weren't kind to tourists, we wouldn't have any business. Now, they're kind, but they don't want to have a relationship with you. They don't care who you are. They don't want to get to know you or anything like that, but they're kind to you. That's not a walk of love. Then I found people here in the South, we want to know who you are. Who's your mama? You know? What's your mama's name? You know, where you live, you know, all of, we want to know everything about you. We will invite you over to dinner. We will treat you, you just like family, you know. We'll call each other family. And then we'll say stuff like, oh yeah, I love them. But now let me tell you, bless their heart, right? We'll talk about you all day. That's not a love relationship either, right? Somewhere in there, there's got to be this overlap of really loving each other, being kind to one another, and growing in our relationship with Christ with one another. And so Paul kind of helps us this morning a little bit. So let's walk through this here, if you will. To live out Christ, it's to walk in love with God and with others. So we pick up here in chapter 5 in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. That therefore points back to the fact that we have a relationship with God. And God loves us, and we're to love Him back. Therefore, we should be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. For a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolishness talking, nor of course jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. So when we look at Paul's instructions here about walking in love, I want to just point out quickly this morning, first of all, the exhortation here to walk in love. He says here, walk in love, be imitators of God, and walk in love. It's written in the present imperative. It means it should be a continual progressive action. It's not just something that we do in a one-time act and say, oh, I love them because I did one thing. It's something that we should do progressively. It's written in the present imperative. It means that it's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. This is written as a command. Now, you could visualize it like this. How many of you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? That's right. Come on. Anybody? Okay. And then how many of you obey the Lord completely with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? You see, the scripture says, if you love me, you'll obey me. It's a command. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What did he say? He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he said, and the second is like it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so these are commands. Let's be honest this morning. We don't always feel like loving, right? You're in church, at least be honest for this hour. We don't always feel like loving somebody. But that's because we have misconstrued this whole idea of what love really is. We think of love really in what is in reality lust. You see, love is not something that's based on feelings. Love is an obedience to God's word. It's a commandment. You have to love me. Look at the person next to you. I love you because I have to. Okay? Right? Listen, we have to love each other. It's a command that God gives us here. Even though we don't always feel like it. Now listen, this command, it's an order that's given by a superior authority. The Lord, God says, the one who is in control, tells us that we have to love. He tells us to love. There's two words in the English language that cannot be compatible, and that's the word know and the word Lord. If He's Lord, our response always has to be yes. When we say no, then He's no longer in control. And so if He's Lord of your life, then you have to say yes at all times. It's the command that He gives us, then to love. Listen to this in John chapter 13 and verse 34. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Jesus says, I'm giving you this new commandment to love one another. And then in 1 John chapter 2, it says this, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now." And he goes on to say, "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." That is, you cannot love God and hate your fellow man. It's incompatible. If you love God, then you have to love others. And really, our love for others is a demonstration of our love for God Himself. See, human worldly love says, as long as you stimulate me, as long as I can be proud of you, as long as you are beautiful, I can love you. But if you do something that I'm not proud of, then I don't love you anymore. If something happens and your appearance changes, then I don't love you anymore. If you make me mad then I don't have those feelings anymore, then I can't love you anymore. Heard an incredible story. The man, he was the president at Washington University. And his wife developed dementia, Alzheimer's, and he resigned his position as president of this prestigious university to go and take care of her. And all of his colleagues said, "What are you doing, man? Why are you doing this? Why are you giving up such a position for her? Because she doesn't even know who you are anymore. She doesn't even know that you're her husband. She doesn't know all of these things." And he said, "She may not know me, but I know her." You see, that's love. That's unconditional love. That's steadfast love. That's everlasting love. And that's the kind of love that God commands for us. Listen, many couples come to a tragic end because they no longer love one another. Friendships end because they no longer benefit one another. Churches even split because we no longer care about one another. Listen, here's... Put your big boy pants on here this morning. Get ready for this one, okay? Look at Matthew chapter 5. Look at Matthew chapter 5. "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." We sign up for that part, can't we? But then he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust." We're commanded to love God, to love our neighbors, and even to love our enemies. I don't feel like loving my enemies. God didn't ask you to feel like it. God just asked you to be obedient, right? If love was a feeling, that'd be different. But because love is a command, then we can love them. Listen, it's easy to love people that look like us, right? It's easy to love people who act like us. It's easy to love people who agree with us, right? It's easy for us to love people who have the same political ideologies as us, right? Come on. It's easy for us to love people who live the same kind of lifestyles that we live. It's easy for us to love people who love us more than we love them, right? But God says we're to love. Now, what I want you to understand about this command is this is a supernatural walk. This is a supernatural walk. This is not natural for us. As human beings, because we've been fallen in sin, to love people unconditionally like this is unnatural for us. It requires the supernatural Spirit of God in us to work in and through us so that we can love. He says, therefore, because we are in this relationship with God, then we should be imitators of Him. Which points us then to the example of walking in love. He says here in this verse, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has loved us. Just like Jesus loves us, just like God loves us, we're to love as well. Remember back in chapter 3? Back in chapter 3, Paul prayed. He said, I want you to understand, or I want you to have a knowledge of what you really can understand. And that is the height and the depth and the width and the length of God's love for you. Paul says, I want you to get this. He said, I want you to grow in your understanding of how much God loves you. I think one of the greatest struggles for man today is to understand that there's a God who loves them unconditionally. That there's a God who loves you steadfastly. That there's a God who loves you everlastingly. And Paul says, I want you to know the love of God, the height and depth and width and length of God's love for you. He lays that out there in chapter 3 as he is laying out these precepts of our relationship with God. To know that we are living in Christ, what that means. And he says, now, as you grow in that understanding, here's how you live that out. Then you begin to love others just as you experience Christ's love for you. I think sometimes the reason that we struggle to love is because we don't fully understand how much God's loved us. Because listen, friend, I'm telling you, when I realize what an old wretched sinner I am, and I understand how big a gap there is between my unholiness and God's holiness, and I realize that His love is able to expand that gap and love me, then whatever little differences there might be between me and my brothers and my sisters, my neighbors, even my enemies, the gap's not near as wide for me to love them as it was for God to love me. And the more I grow in my understanding of how much God's loved me, the easier it is for me to love others. Amen? This love that Paul writes about here, in the Greek it's the word agape. It's a sacrificial, unselfish, unconditional love that proves itself through actions. James will say later, show me your works, or show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You can plug the word in love there as well, right? And later he says, look, if you see a brother in need and he's cold, don't just say, brother, I pray that you be warm. And you've got a coat that you could give him. Give him the coat. So how do you demonstrate love? You don't demonstrate love just by praying for him. You demonstrate love by giving to them. By sacrificially giving up what you have in order to provide for them. That's what God did for us. The Bible says that Jesus left the splendor of glory. Became of no reputation. To die on a cross for you and I. It was a demonstration of His sacrificial love. It was a demonstration there of this unselfish, unconditional love. It perfectly describes what Christ did. For God so loved the world that He gave. We so love God that we want to get. But really, it's to give. It's to give sacrificially. It's to give unselfishly. You see, with agape, God showed how much He loved us by sending His Son. When the Bible says that God is love, it means that that's His nature. By nature, God is unselfish. God is sacrificial. God, in His essence, is unconditional love. Here's some of my favorite verses. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, look at this passage. It says, Hebrews 12 and verse 2, listen to this. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. It says here, He's the finisher, who for joy, He says, He endured the cross. By joy, He suffered shame. In joy, listen, It was something that Jesus did for us. And it wasn't begrudgingly. He did it out of love for us. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. There are some times when I've done the right thing, but I didn't do it out of the right heart. Come on now. I know I'm not the only sinner in here, right? I know I'm supposed to do this, and I'm going to do it because I know I'm supposed to, but it's not what I want to do. We kind of do it by force sometimes, right? Jesus did it willingly. And that's really the example that He gives. Here's another verse in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's just the example that He gives us. Here's another good verse in John chapter 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. One last verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart for him, how does the love of God abide in him? This isn't just preacher talk. This is God's Word. God says that He demonstrated His love to us in Christ Jesus, and that we are to love others as Christ has loved us. A little confession this morning. Last week, we were out on vacation, and I was actually over in Atlanta. I'm a baseball fanatic. I love baseball, and they were having the All-Star Weekend over there last weekend, and my daughter and son-in-law were there, my son and his wife, my grandson. Boys that are here with us this week, they were all there. And so I got to go hang out with all my favorite people, all the ball players, and my family. No, seriously. We got to hang out and do the whole MLB thing and all that kind of stuff. And they had the All-Star game there. And Joe Torre was one of the honorary managers that night. Now, I'm not a Yankee fan, but I'm a Joe Torre fan, okay? And Joe Torre, I remember Joe Torre as a kid playing for the St. Louis Cardinals. He became an announcer, broadcaster for the St. Louis Cardinals, and then he took the coaching manager's position in New York. And they were doing an interview with him one time, and somebody asked him the question. They said, wouldn't it be easier to manage the game from up in the booth where you could look down and see everything from above, analyze the game? And Joe Torre said this. He said, absolutely not. He said, when you're upstairs, he said, you can't look into their eyes. Friends, we have a God who came down in the form of His only begotten Son. He came down here to earth just to come down and look in our eyes and say, I love you, brother. I love you. I love you, David. I love you, Melissa. God came down to look in our eyes and to tell us, I love you. We'll love people if they'll meet our standards. If they measure up to us, we'll love them. God didn't ask us to measure up to Him to love us. He came down to us. That's called humility. That's what the world needs to see demonstrated in God's people. That we would love as Christ loved us. Christ loved you. Listen here, church. Christ loved you before you became the perfect Christian that you are today. And therefore, we ought to love others before we make them perfect. To love as Christ loved us. See, too many of us act all high and mighty. That's not how Christ demonstrated His love to us. Now listen. Paul gives us some exclusions, if you will, some evils that destroy this love relationship. And he goes on to point those out there beginning in verse 3. He says, but, fornicators, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. There's a false theology today that love means tolerance, that love means just approving everything and everybody. There's a false theology that says that you can be a Christian and live in an habitual, deliberate state of sin. That's not what Jesus is telling us here, okay? To love as Christ loved, He loved us where we're at, but He loved us too much to leave us there. You see, because I love you this morning, I have to tell you the truth. Because I love you this morning and I want you to have an eternity with Christ, then I have to tell you the truth. You see, when Jesus was there was a lady that they brought to Jesus who had been caught in the very act of adultery. And they said, the law says what she deserves is to be stoned to death. What do you say? And Jesus just knelt down and started writing in the dirt. And one by one, they dropped their stones and they walked away. And Jesus, looking up at the woman, said, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, neither do I condemn. That's where we stop most of the time. Well, you know, Jesus doesn't condemn. I can live however I want to. It's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, nor do I condemn. But go and sin no more. See, He exercised grace. He demonstrated grace. He demonstrated love. And then He pointed her to the truth. You see, it's not that we are to separate ourselves from people in this lifestyle. When He says, don't let this be named among you, what He's saying is, don't let that be a part of who you are as an individual. But we're to share the love of Christ with the world out there that's hurting. We know these lifestyles lead to a dead-end road. It leads to an emptiness. It leads to unfulfillment. And we know that the only peace and the only fulfillment and the only real love is found in a relationship with Christ Jesus. And we should demonstrate that relationship to them. Verse 3 says, these ungodly behaviors, they're offensive to God. He says here, but fornication and all uncleanness. He's using the imagery of an unfaithful spouse. As offensive as an unfaithful spouse is, that's how offensive this is to God. And there can be no love relationship with that type of behavior. He says here that in this context, that even this sexual sin. And that's, let's be honest, that's where we, a lot of times, that's kind of where we stop, right? But notice what he goes on to say. He talks about covetousness. He's talking about lust, really. He's talking about greed. this covetousness. In verse John chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, don't love the things of this world. Don't love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And he goes on to say there in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not the Father, but it is of the world. And so when he's talking about, you know, don't let these things be named. That's not part of who we are. But man, there's a lot of people that get caught up in those things, right? And we need to demonstrate the love of Christ to them. Let me just remind you of something this morning. Let me take you all the way back to Genesis. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, having fellowship with God, as God had originally designed for all of us to be in relationship with, right? When you think about the sin that cost Adam and Eve to be cast out of the garden and for that relationship to be broken and separated, what was the sin? It wasn't a sexual sin. It was a sin of greed, and it was a sin of covetousness. They looked at a fruit, and they was like, we can have everything in the garden but that. And the one thing we can't have, that's the one thing we want. It was the sin of covetousness that cost them their relationship with God. What's the greater sin? I don't know. But covetousness is dangerous. Amen? He goes on to say here in verse 4, and that the way we talk to each other, don't let coarse talking and filthy words and all those things come out of our mouth. It's the way we talk to each other. It's the tone of voice. Listen, you could be sharing truth, but not sharing love in how we talk. I get excited sometimes. My voice raises. Sounds like I'm screaming and hollering. My wife's like, don't scream. Just talk to us, you know? And I'm like, but I get excited. My voice goes up, you know? And then sometimes she'll say, you know, what you said was good, but you could have said it in a more loving tone of voice. Now, self-confession here, I struggle with the gift of mercy, okay? Put some dirt on it, bend your elbow, you're good, let's go, you know? But yes, we have to be guarded. And listen, Christians in our workplace, in the schools, in our neighborhoods, and we want to stand on the truth. But our neighbors need to hear some love. Our coworkers need to hear some love. Our classmates need to hear some love. It's not just what we share, but how we share it. Our language. How do you do that? I saw a t-shirt one time and said, did my face say that out loud? Some of you'd struggle with that, right? You know, it's hard to hide your facial expression sometimes. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, several verses here. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous. See, we pick and choose which one of these sins we want to really focus on. But really, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. That's a good reminder, right? Before you get all high and mighty and talk about how good you are and how bad they are, you need to remember where you came from, right? But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You see, there's a transformation that takes place in our life when we come to know Christ. Because He loves us where we are, but He loves us more to take us into a closer relationship with Him, that we be transformed into His image. Paul started this whole passage out in verse 1, be imitators. Therefore, be imitators of God. It's the word imitators there. It's the word mimate. It's where we get our word mimic from. Any of your kids ever mimic you? When our little boy was young, he first starting to play golf, he had a little plastic golf ball and golf club, you know, out there in the yard, and he would swing that thing, and whether he hit it or not, man, he beat that ground. And my wife said, "Where does he learn that from?" I said, "I don't know. The only person I know he's played golf with was your dad." No, seriously, our kids mimic us. It's scary sometimes. But we have a heavenly Father, and He desires that His children would mimic Him, that we would be like Christ. The Bible says this is how the world's going to know. This is how the world's going to know that you're a follower of Jesus. This is how they're going to know that you're my disciple, in that you love one another. God, help us to love Him and to love others this morning. Amen? Hey, let's pray this morning. God's so good to love you and I. And I'm so grateful this morning. And my prayer this morning is that each and every one of you that are listening on the radio, watching online, sitting in this place this morning, each and every one of you know that there's a God who loves you personally. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you steadfastly, never wavers, and He loves you everlastingly. His love will never run out. And that God who loves you desires to have an intimate, personal love relationship with you. For you to know His love and for you to be able to share His love. This morning, if you've never known the love of God, you've never come to that point and place in your life where you would just give up all that you understand about yourself to all that you understand about Christ Jesus, and you just say, "God, this morning, thank you for loving me. And God, I just want to begin to love you back starting today." Would that be your prayer? Would that be your desire this morning? This morning, we would love to be able to pray with you and to celebrate with you and to help you in this new walk with Christ, to learn how to walk in love with God and then to be able to walk in love with one another. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. This will be your opportunity just to step out from where you're at. Take that first step in walking in love with God. Father, this morning we give you this time. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your love. And I pray, God, this morning that there's hearts in this place, God, who have experienced your love for the first time this morning. God, I pray this morning that you'd help them take that first step of walking in relationship with you, walking in love. God, today we'll be sure to give you the praise and glory and honor in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you would walk in love with God, would you come this morning? Maybe your church membership is somewhere else. Man, we'd love to have you come, be a part of our family right here at Trinity. Maybe you want to just come to the altar this morning and just thank God again. You know, you walk down the aisle, you gave your heart to Christ. It's like getting married, but you've never told Him that you love Him again since. And maybe you want to just come back again today and say, "God, afresh and anew, I just want to tell you how much I love you." As we stand and as we sing, you come this morning. Thank you.
his bone, you can grow and understand
God's love for you. And this week, you would just experience the love of God in a greater fashion than you've ever experienced before. And you could just fall more in love with him. Amen? Amen. Hey, I want to just share with you just a word of thanks from Ms. Shirley Skinner, her family, just to the Trinity family. Thank you for your prayers and your thoughts during this difficult time and the loss of our mother, the calls, the cards, the visits. We're all thankful for the support and the comfort received from your expressions of sympathy and kindness. And so just a word of thanks to the church for them. We've had others as well, and we're grateful. Thank you, church, for just loving on people. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Hey, I want to also remind you, next Monday, actually a week from tomorrow, we will be having a three-day camp here, back to school, bash and splash. And it's going to be a fun time for our kids, kindergarten through fifth grade. And so if you've got kids that want to come be a part of that, there's a sign-up sheet on the back of this little flyer. So if you'll pick that up, fill it out, turn it into the office. I think our sign-up date is by this Wednesday. And so if you'll turn those in on Wednesday, there's going to be a big water day. So that'll be a fun day as well. And so we're just going to share with these boys and girls that there's a God who loves them. It's going to be a great 3 days. We got some folks to come in and encourage them, get them ready for the new school year. And so be in prayer for that as well. If you'd like to participate, help out in any way, come see me and we'll get you plugged in. And we'll have a great time with them. I want you to be sure, be aware of that, okay? All right. Did I miss anything? I know we're collecting some things as well. We're collecting some back-to-school supplies. There's baskets out here in the foyer and also back here in the back. We're collecting those for the next couple of Sundays. And then we're going to be collecting some toiletry items and towels and socks and underwear and that sort of thing for some of our folks over at Belmont Gardens. And so be prepared. Man, I want us to give all that we have for God, to demonstrate our love for others. Amen? Amen. So let's do that. Be faithful in giving as well. Man, it's been a good day to be in the house. Well, that was a great first song we did today, man. That was a new one. So what a great job, man. I'm looking forward. We're going to do that one again?
Oh, yeah.
Sometime? All right. Good deal. Good deal. I'm good for it. Hey, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Let me head over to what Miss Shirley, Shirley's letter. You know, y'all, I missed y'all terribly last week. I'm so glad I'm here this week, and I know that for a fact, that is because of y'all's prayers that I'm actually still standing here today. So very, very thankful to be back with you this morning just to worship our awesome Lord and just looking forward to another week and just glad to be a part of this family. So let's sing that. The family of God.